I was born bold.
Deliverr, simplify your restaurant's ordering and delivery capabilities. Find out more. Visit deliverr.com.au. The Worth app makes ordering your workshop consumables and products a breeze. Download it today.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
We've got the power to win, power to roll.
Heard that plenty of times this year. Port Adelaide were the best home and away team in the competition. They were pretty good in the finals as well, but just came up short against the eventual Premier. Time for the unconventional club review. We've had Sam Pang. We've had Sarah Jones from Fox Footy. We've had comedian Adam Spencer. We've had Andrew Gaze. And we're going to tennis royalty here. Roger Rashid has coached the number one players in the world. He is a Port Adelaide fanatic. I know that for a fact. And he's been good enough to take our call this morning. How you going, Rog?
Good, Gary. Tim, how are you, boys?
Hey, nice to talk to you. We're lucky. Sorry, mate. We're lucky.
That song needed to be played a couple more times, I think, this year.
Yeah, we can only play it once here in Melbourne.
All right.
hey, we heard it plenty of times. You must have been thrilled with your boys.
Absolutely. They put out what I think the team was ready to put out. You know, they were a pretty polished week in, week out delivery. And I actually thought, Gary and Tim, that they were really ready for to win the cup. Obviously, you got to get through the Tigers, who seem to feel like they're very comfortable when this environment turns up, don't they, in the finals. It looks like they sort of go into sort of, they play a relaxed flow type of game, and that showed, I suppose, in the second half of the grand final.
No doubt about that. Now, you travel around the world. I know it's been different this year because of COVID, so probably for the first time in a long time you're sitting at home, but you traditionally travel around the world with all of your different tennis duties as coaches and consulting and commentary. How do you stay in touch with the Port Adelaide Footy Club? Are you watching most of the games when you're on the road?
Yeah, normally watch it on the AFL site so that you can log into, obviously. And I have pretty close connections with Travis Boak and Ollie Wines and Robbie Gray and a few others I have done for a lot of years, weekly connections. So I'm pretty tight with the boys, and I just love that. I love the group they got now. So yeah, me and Darren Cale are pretty obsessed. Obviously, Darren's yes. a board member now, and he's trying to get me. We're trying to get Darren in, and me and him to coach in a couple of years down the line. We're going to convert.
There's no reason why you can't do that either, Roger. Are you still coaching tennis players? Who are you coaching at the moment?
No, I'm just consulting now, Tim. I think my daughter's 13, going 14, right. So I made a choice. Probably 18 months ago or 2 years ago, but I made a choice about 4 years ago that when she got to 10 and a half, 11, I need to be dad more than travelling 40 weeks of the year. So,
You know the definition of a consultant, don't you?
What is it? Give it to me.
Somebody who borrows your watch to tell you the time.
Yeah, exactly. Well, okay, I've got to change that word. I'll change the word.
The unconventional club review, we do things a bit differently. I've got 9 questions. You'll get the first go, and then Tim can have his version of it, and then you can argue and fight if you want. But we'll push on. So, Roger Rashid, who's Port Adelaide's next All-Australian?
I like Connor Rosie, I think. Nearly did some amazing things in the prelim, but our first draft pick is 5th overall, but at pick it in the 18 draft and 22 years of age. So, I love what he brings to the table. I think he's going to have a full year next year, which is going to elevate him into that space.
I love all that you've just said, but you could have chosen Zach Butters or maybe Xavier. I like Xavier Dursma maybe to be their next All-Australian on that wing. So we're in the same ballpark there with our thoughts. But I think most people probably talking about Port would be saying the same thing about those 3 talented young players.
Are they the best three going around if you look at the young kids that have come into the game and are prepared to stick their chest out and absorb the physicality, the day in, day out of AFL footy?
Yes, yeah. At the one team. Yeah, no doubt.
Exactly.
But not since Lewis, Franklin and Roughhead. So I think there have been 3 absolute inspired choices. Hey, they got the right captain. I know they've only changed it or gone to the solo captain recently. And if not, who is it?
I love the solo captain. Didn't agree with the dual role. I like the tradition of the sole captain. I love the tradition of the number one on their back. And absolutely, Tommy Jones is the right captain. strong, solid. You know he's going to be there when it's getting dirty. He rolls his sleeves up, and his actions, you know, it's all about the actions, I think, more so than necessarily the commentary that you give. And he does that both beautifully. So, yeah, I like him.
Snap. Great leader. A great leader. Inspired choice.
No argument. If this player plays well, then Port Adelaide are always a chance to win. Who is that player?
Is that me or
Gat? That's you,
or me,
right?
Or Tim? Me? Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Ollie Wines, 26 right. years of age. I'm not sure whether we've seen a season yet where he's just been elite right across the board, week in, week out, have the odd, obviously, blemish. But I think if Ollie, with his robust physicality, if he can do that, I think he brings a lot. You know, he carries a lot of people on his shoulders through there. And you know, so he's one that I think the guy.
Robbie Gray for me, Gary. He's the break the glass type bloke. When he goes on the ball, things happen. When he's in the forward line, the ball's in his hands, things happen. In fact, I think he's doing all those things that we've seen him do over the years as well still. And he's still such a dynamic player that can change the course of a game midstream. I thought about Charlie Dixon, but then I still think Robbie Gray's the man there.
Good call. Good call. We're going to get through these, so we'll push through them, Wisp. You're going very nicely. Rog, left field trade option. Anyone on the list that you might think about putting on the market in the next week?
Well, I know they had their exit meetings the last couple of days. Port Adelaide as a club have not, they haven't asked anybody to leave, and nobody has asked to look at other options around. So that's the commentary. That's the commentary. So that's a pretty big thing. So I sit neutral on this, but you know, I know there's been names thrown out. Alir was one from Sydney. Does he come over and expose himself to a new club? But as I said, I think that was list managers in general having a look and asking questions about all types of players, but they're not heavily hunting anyone, I don't think.
Righto, Wisp.
To go out of the club, look, I think this guy's still got some currency and he kicked some goals in moments during the finals, Motlop. And if you're going to get Fantasia in, then maybe there's going to be less game time for him. And I think, you know, people might have looked at what he did and thought, okay, that's a type of player we desperately need and somebody that they need to target. I think Alir, obviously, that type of player for them. Westhoff out, he played that sort of mid, yep. He played that forward defensive ruck roll. I mean, they need to replace that type of player. I'm not saying he's the same player, but he might be capable of developing into something similar.
Righto, you're going that well. I've got four questions in about a minute and a half, okay. So you're going to have to fly. Which player is deserving of a pay rise?
Tom Cleary. Key defender. Does a pretty good job week in, week out. I don't think he's on much. I reckon they could put a bit more in his pocket.
Yeah, Dan Houston for me. I think he's probably not on a lot either, and I think he's done a great job.
Pay rise is easy. What about a pay cut?
I think Ollie Wines is their highest paid player, and I want an elite year out of him. Otherwise, I want a bit back.
Geez, he won't be happy when he hears that.
he's a good friend.
Rasheed
of mine.
Calls for pay cut for Wines. That's going to be the back page of the advertiser tomorrow.
Come on.
Hey, Ryan Burton only played 8 games, so and that's because of injury and stuff. But that's a tough one. Expect a big 2021 from Mitch Georgiades. What about you, Roger?
Yeah, I like Mitch. Big 20, and then I also like. I think Dan Houston's going to be in there as well, but my big one's Dersma. I think he's going to. I think he's going to pull the trigger and be it and elevate himself.
And last one, the big positional change we might see next year.
Yeah, the big positional change for me is that I want Connor Rozee, Butters, Georgiades, and Dersma to spend less time on the track and more time in the gym. So their positional change is from the track into the gym to bulk up and build some muscle.
Nice.
I want Rozee and Houston full time as midfielders in the rotation.
Hey, Rod, you've been absolutely sensational. It's a pretty good club review, although we did get our headline, Wines to take pay cut. We know how the Adelaide Advertiser works over there.
Are they listening?
we'll make sure they get it. We know you love the Port Adelaide Footy Club, so it's great of you to jump on this morning and give us a couple of minutes. Thanks for your time, mate.
Thanks, boys, and I pass on that Ollie Wines one. I'll take that.
Roger Rasheed, the unconventional club review of a pretty good Port Adelaide Footy Club this year. Let's have the news headlines with Meredith Gibbs.
Mac. I was born
bold. Deliverer. Simplify your restaurant's ordering and delivery capabilities. Find out more. Visit deliverer.com.au. The Worth app makes ordering your workshop consumables and products a breeze. Download it today.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Gorgeous day. The sun's out. The footy competitions are all done and dusted. You pack away the boots, Wispy, and you go and dust off your cricket bat and your pads. You give them a bit of a wipe down and away you go. And we're lucky yesterday they announced the schedule. There was some dispute about or debate as to whether or not the Indians could get here and quarantine and all those sorts of issues. Well, they've been sorted out and the schedule was put down yesterday. And it's great. We can start to get excited about the Aussies taking on the might of India. And it is a great thrill and honour always when we speak to this man, Greg Chappell, about the upcoming summer and some exciting talent that is on the horizon. And it's a good morning to you, Greg. Thanks for giving us some time.
G'day, Gary. Hi, Tim.
G'day, Greg.
Great to talk to you. Were you concerned at any stage that we might not get this summer of cricket underway with the Indians?
Oh, a little bit of concern, but I've always had the hope anyway that something would be sorted out. And it's great that it is, because this is really the bout of the heavyweights, I think, at the moment.
The best two test playing teams with England, I guess, would be the other one in the world at the moment?
Yeah, I think they are. I think I'd put them both slightly ahead of England, although England, very good bowling attack. I don't think England's batting's as strong as ours or India's. So I would, this is the world championship for me.
Have you been impressed with the way that the Australian team's been able to regather themselves after the controversies in recent times?
Yeah, I have been. I think it's a great credit to everyone involved, not only on the field, but off the field. I think a lot of work was done behind the scenes to make sure it came together. And, I think Tim Payne and Justin have to take a lot of the credit on the ground. But each and every one of the individuals, I think, has done a terrific job.
I'm not sure whether you caught the test, the documentary, which gave us an unbelievable behind the scenes insight. I mean, when you watch that, was that familiar to you, given how much cricket and touring you did, or have things changed a fair bit?
Oh, it's familiar because I've been around the scene still up until recent times, but it has changed a lot from our touring days. I mean, we didn't have anywhere near the support staff that is around these days, but the pressures and the challenges of touring has always been there, and I think the AFL boys have found that this year.
Yeah,
being away from your own bed, away from your home, your friends, your support systems, it's a hell of a challenge. And the cricket guys do it every year for the best part of 10 months of the year. Even when they're at home, they're not at home. They're travelling around Australia for much of the summer. So it's one of the reasons why, it's not just about talent. The guys, there's not many that can cope with that sort of lifestyle and the stresses that it brings.
Greg, there's nothing we love more on the horizon than a young talent in sport in this country. We've got one. Everybody's talking about this young kid over in WA, Cameron Green. From your experience, what's the best way to handle somebody who's a prodigious young talent?
Yeah, it's a good question, Tim, because they're all different, of course. Again, it comes back to the personality and the temperament and all of those things. There's a lot more to it than just the physical talent. And, Cameron's got all of that in front of him. It's one thing to largely play out of your home base, but to then be thrown into an environment where, it's pretty tough. You're away from all of those support systems. So yeah, it is exciting. This kid can play. He's a serious talent. I think he's the best batting talent I've seen since Ricky Ponting.
What?
He's got something special in that he's 6'7" tall. We haven't seen anyone of that size, dominate from a batting point of view. And the kid can bowl, so it's a real challenge. And one of the issues with Cameron is that his bowling is so attractive that the danger is, and the danger has been, that people would get carried away with that and bowl him until the point that he broke. Well, he's already broken once. We've just got to be so careful, because batting talent like this doesn't come along very often, and we've got to make sure he gets through as a batsman.
That's enormous praise from you, that he has the potential to be as good as Ricky Ponting. So what you're saying is, though, that you would be playing him as a specialist batsman. Yes, is that what I'm hearing?
Absolutely, absolutely. He's a top six batsman through and through. He thinks of himself as a batsman, and that's the important thing. His bowling is a bonus. He didn't even, bowling has not been on his radar for most of his life. It's just that at 6'7" and bowling at 140 plus, he frightens the bejesus out of people, and and that gets coaches and everybody excited about him. But, the thing that I saw a few years ago was that this kid can bat, and like very few people, we have to make sure that he gets the batting that he needs. And I think that's finally showing up now. Western Australia are batting him in the top six, and they realise what he can do with the bat. What we want to see from an Australian point of view is him batting, post-Smith, batting at 3 or 4, bowling maybe 10, 12 overs in innings max, and being able to make a difference there. He could win us the next Ashes if he can get a little bit of experience between now and then. Just he's got that ability and that presence. I think it's exciting, and you said it, we all get excited about a new talent. I'm excited because you don't see batting talent like this very often.
At 6'7", he's a big young man. We often see the best batsman in the world more.
He's not even a ruckman these days, Tim.
No, he's just a midfielder, Greg. Often the great batsmen are sort of more compact. Does he remind you of anyone from years gone by?
It's hard to compare him because I haven't seen anyone of that size. I can go back to probably Clyde Lloyd at 6'3", 6'4", at his in his peak. Was probably one of the taller batsmen. There are some benefits being that tall, but there are some drawbacks as well. I mean, I used to joke with Bruce Laird, one of our opening batsmen of years ago. Stumpy was probably 5'6" at best. And I said, mate, it's easy for you to play the short ball because most of it's going over your head. The short ball's hitting me in the chest. Well, you can imagine what Cameron's going to have to deal with. It's going to be a challenge for him. He's got huge levers, and it takes a lot of coordination to get that going. But with that comes great reach. I think with his ability, he's going to be able to overcome the challenges of being 6'7", because we haven't seen anyone of that size.
With Greg Chappell, who's talking about our great talent on the rise, on the horizon in Cameron Green. You've been the national talent manager for a long time, national selector. You know talent better than anyone in the world, possibly. Yeah, and I read an article where you said it only took you, when you're watching him, to see him play a couple of shots, and you thought, gee, this is something special. So what is it? What are you looking for when you see talent like this?
Well, I think you're looking for things that are not necessarily the obvious things, but from a batting point of view, you want to see somebody who's picking up length. I mean, if they're going forward to the right ones and they're going back to the right ones, that's important. It shows that they're at least seeing the ball out of the hand well. Then their ability to be able to score runs in as wide a range as possible, both sides of the wicket, obviously. And that against the better bowlers, they can score runs, or in difficult conditions, they can score runs from the less than good balls, not just bad balls, but if a bowler makes a slight mistake, they punish it. And, Cameron does that. He hits gaps. He's not playing shots and hitting them to the field all the time. He's got that sort of inherent talent, I suppose, of being able to just get the ball into gaps and score, because as you go up, the higher you go up, the less scoring opportunities you get. So if you can't score off their less than good balls, you're really going to struggle. And the shot that always gets my attention is the straight drive. I used to love Ricky Ponting coming out to bat, and if in the first over or so he hit one crashing straight back past the bowler, it's the biggest statement you can make as a batsman. And I saw Cameron play a couple of straight drives up here at the National Cricket Centre at a training camp, and I thought that's special. Not many people can play that shot as well as the Pontings, and Cameron has that ability.
I know our top six is pretty settled, Head at 5 and Matthew Wade at 6, but from what I'm hearing, he's gonna put some enormous pressure on those two. So when can you see him making his Test debut?
Oh, mate, I think you've got to make room for him now. I don't,
straight away.
You know, it's a bit tough, mate. You don't leave players in the VFL to find out, you know, how to play in the AFL. You get them in and you play them at the AFL level, and you play them against the best players in the best teams to find out what it's like. Cameron needs to find that out now. He's shown that he's got what it takes to play at the, you know, the Sheffield Shield first class level. We now need to give him the chance to learn what it takes to play at the next level.
Wow, that's unbelievable. And Will Pekoski's the other one that's sitting in the wings as well. Are you a big fan of his?
Yes, I am. I think he's equally a very special talent. He's obviously had some challenges with his concussions, and he needs just to get his feet again. But I think he's another one that if he can get through those challenges, he and Cameron Green could be, a very good middle order anchors for Australia for a long time to come.
Oh, gee, I want the cricket to start now. Having spoken to you, I can't wait to see Cameron Green and Will Pekoski at some stage don the baggy green. Hey, it's great to talk to you, Greg. It's always a great thrill for us. So we look forward to the summer ahead, and take care.
Thanks, Gary. Cheers, Tim.
Thanks, Greg.
The great Greg Chappell, who I shared a wonderful partnership with down in Tasmania one day, and I didn't even ask you about it. Charlie.
He was dripping with respect for me during that interview. Dripping with respect.
Charlie Battisti & Co., Melbourne's finest facility for the repair of prestige German vehicles. Get your repair process started. When you're battered with someone for a long time out in the middle, whisper, you don't need to worry about respect. It's just there.
He just now he's texting me. He wants the conversation to continue by the looks, I think. So enjoyed it.
McDonald blazing beautifully. That's his second. And look at the joy it's brought them.
Not a lot of great news for a really tough and difficult season for the North Melbourne Footy Club, but this is one of the good stories, I reckon. Luke McDonald's won his first Sid Barker medal from Jai Simpkins, Jed Anderson, Todd Goldstein and Trent Dumont. And I think it's a fantastic reward for a really good season. He's been good enough to join us. Lukey, well done.
No worries. Thanks very much for the words. I'm obviously really, really proud. So, as you said, it was a tough year, but I'm really proud to have won a Sid.
I know a lot of the awards were Best and Fairest Nights were done up in the hubs. How did you guys do it last night?
Yeah, so we all logged on Zoom, actually. So, just got on the computer and we had, all of us were on our screens. And, it was certainly weird. I would have loved to have been able to have it around all my teammates and a few supporters and family. But, that's 2020.
It is 2020. There was a time, like about halfway through the year, you'll be able to tell me exactly when, but you went and played on ball and you did some tagging jobs, and it sort of, you did a fantastic job, won a lot of the footy, and then you went back to halfback and you continued on. What was the impetus for that?
I think it was about round five, maybe. Shorey came up to me and said, I want you to play on the bont. And, obviously I haven't played midfield since I was probably in the under-18s, even though I've always loved to play in there, as everyone does. I don't know, I just played that, went all right that day, and then played on Shield the next week and Dusty the week after. And, it was, I don't know, it's a funny one because when I look back on it, I reckon that's probably, one of the biggest turning points of my season because I just got so much confidence playing on those guys because, obviously you always look up to those guys. They're superstars of the league. And, just sort of beating him in a few contests. Just got so much confidence out of it. And from there, I just went back and, I don't know, just had that sort of belief. And I suppose, obviously it wasn't very good in terms of we were losing a lot of games, but I suppose it was good to sort of hold the head up high.
Hey, Luke, it's really interesting to hear you talk about that, the fact that you played under-18s as a midfielder. You've been probably trying to get back in there every year since. But the confidence that going back into probably what was a really familiar position for you, even though you were playing on the best midfielders in the game, was able to give you that confidence again. Playing on those great blokes or those great midfielders, what did that teach you? What did you learn this season in AFL footy?
Oh, look, to be honest, it's funny. Yeah, you learn a lot of lessons playing on those guys, especially. Yeah, it's funny when I was playing on Dusty. Yeah, he's just got that aura about him, doesn't he? Probably even more now he's won the third norm. But just that belief. It's funny, you know, everyone talks about how fit and strong you got to be to be an AFL footballer, but so much is between the years. And I don't know, just a few, as I said, a few contests. I mean, like around centre bounces and that. You know, just winning him in a bit of body work and. It's funny, but yeah, confidence just grew, and then from there, I've probably been a bit maligned about my kicking earlier in my career, and from there, I just started hitting sort of easier targets, and instead of always going for a bit of Hollywood, so yeah, just hitting easier targets, and then I don't know, the confidence just sort of grew. So, I've got so much of that to thank for Reece Shaw and Gavin Brown, and a lot of the sport I've had over my journey.
Well, as Gary said before, it has been a difficult year for North Melbourne, and you're talking about your own confidence growing, but it appeared that the team confidence actually started to really lapse throughout the course of the year, and you know, things really started to unravel. How difficult was that for you as a player?
Oh yeah, it's obviously, well, we're all here to win. Like even watching the finals the last few weeks, you know, I'm tipping everyone was the same in the league. You just, that's what it's all about. You're just so jealous. So, losing all those games is obviously really disappointing. But it's funny because, everyone, you know, is pretty quick to write off North. But I've got just so much faith in a lot of our young guys. And I know it was a tough year, but it's certainly brought the playing list together. And it's something that... no one wants to go through, but I know we're going to be better for this year. I can't wait to rip into next year.
The new coach, whoever it might be, sits down in a week or two or three or however long it takes, and you're in the office for your first meeting. He says, "Luke, where do you want to play next year?" What do you say?
To be honest, it is a little bit cliche, but I'm happy to play wherever it is. He's going to, you know, help us win footy games.
Luke,
so,
I'm the new coach, Luke. Where do you want to play?
There's not many halfbacks, you know, go in the midfield. And I wouldn't mind setting up at halfback, because I think that one of my strengths is just my talking and seeing the game well. I've always absolutely idolised Luke Hodge when I was growing up. I just wanted to be him, to be honest. So, yeah, just I love that. And I'd love to also, if I can, go in the midfield as well. But I know we've got a lot of really good young fellas going up in there with Lukey Davies and Jai Simpson, and even Jed Anderson had a fantastic year, Trent DeMont. So, and I think we've got two picks in top 10. So hopefully we can get another mid in there. So, and you bring Cunnington back. So, I'm happy to play anywhere, but... Yeah, whoever's best for the team to help us win footy games, because that's what it's all about, and you guys both know that. And the difference between winning and losing in around the club in the week, and even especially in the hub, the difference between winning and losing, it's crazy.
Yeah, we can't, man. Tim and I, that is something that we never experienced. So I imagine it would have been tough when you weren't able to get those wins. So what happens now? You've had a few weeks off. Have you got times back for training, or have you been able to have a good break?
Yeah, well, so my girlfriend's family, we were up in Port Macquarie, so I was up there for a bit, which is nice. And then, I came back to Melbourne a fair few weeks ago now, but... I live, just off Arden Street, so, I've been able to go in the club and train with a few of the boys, I think we're back early Jan, and the younger lads are back in December, but, I might sneak in, I probably won't go in for the time trials, but I'll sneak in for the actual footy stuff, it's exciting times, because it's going to be pretty much a new club. You know, we've got a lot of new, we're going to have a new coach, a lot of new assistant coaches. Johnny Blake, he's jumped on board, which is really exciting. He's reached out to all the boys and seems like a ripper. So, I'm really excited about going in and getting into it. Just seeing all the boys.
No, it's great. There are North Melbourne supporters that are texting us who are just loving hearing what you're saying. And as we've said a couple of times on our program anyway, can turn quickly. You just look at the Brisbane Lions 4 years ago, they were in a very similar position, and with good decision making and good drafting and recruiting, it can turn quickly. So what, just the last one for me, the beard, just it had a life of its own there at some stage late last year. What have we done with that?
Oh, well, pretty much straight after season, I shaved it. And, yeah, it's grown back pretty quick. But so I've got a little bit of something going on at the moment, but I'm thinking of shaving it off until November. But, yeah, it grows pretty quick. So
it was a ferocious-looking beard.
Oh, yeah, well, it was a funny story because my grandpa, he's passed away now, but if he honestly had seen this beard, oh, my God, I wouldn't hear the end of it. So, you know, he passed away a couple of years ago, but when I used to, in my first couple of years, whenever I was playing and I hadn't shaved, he'd call me and he wouldn't say anything about the game. He'd just say about my beard. So, and Mum wasn't a big fan of it either as well. So I don't know how it's still going. I think lockdown saved me because I wasn't seeing my Mum and Dad as much. So, I'm thinking of getting rid of it soon. So.
Well, deliver the best and fairest in your best year. You had a fantastic season, so you might have to think about it again. But hey, it's great to talk to you. I love the positivity. I love the fact that you're upbeat and your love for that North Melbourne Footy Club has come through, you know, so strongly. And there's great heritage there with your dad as well. So get stuck into it, and we look forward to watching you play next year.
No worries. I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Lukey McDonald, who's won the Sid Barker medal for the first time, 183 votes. Jai Simpkin was 140. Jed Anderson was 138. Toddy Goldstein was 131. And Trent Dumont rounded it out at 128. That was good, Wispy. There's nice positivity about him.
Yes, a bit of a character, isn't it? I don't think I've ever spoken to Luke before, so maybe we need to get him back on again next year sometime during the footy season.
Loved it. We're here for Deliver It, made to order. Questions without notice coming up next.